Hi, my name is Lana Webb, and I will be reading today from my first novel, Lonesome Wolf. It is set in the Texas Hill Country in the late 1860s. This is from chapter one. There was no mistaking the sound of an Apache war cry. The chilling echo of it worked its way down Jacob's spine, carrying a shiver along the way. He listened intently to verify from which direction it came by kicking his horse into a full run. As he got closer to the unsettling sound, he unsheathed his rifle and reined in between two mesquite trees on a small rise. He took in the scene. Looks like four Apache braves attacking a small cabin. He heard a rifle shot and was relieved to know that whoever was in the cabin was able to defend himself. The Indians appeared armed with only knives and bows and arrows. Only. That was a wrong word. He had seen an awful lot of death and mutilation caused by those weapons, but at least the man in the cabin had a gun. Jacob, acutely aware of the scene unfolding around him, reacted with every sense both heightened and detached. The Apache's voices rang in his head, intermingling with the swish of blood rushing through his veins. The air stilled, and the sight of the Indians, declaring battle against the inhabitants of the home, stood out against the backdrop of a graying summer sky. The scene tried to change, desperately attempting to morph itself into a memory long ago hidden away. He knew that any distraction could prove fatal, so he blinked hard, ruthlessly, clearing his mind of the heart-rending images of his past and focusing on the present. He nudged his horse forward, scraping through the mesquite to get into position. As he brought his rifle up against his shoulder, Jacob saw one Apache go down and one get alarmingly close to the cabin. Just as he took aim, another rifle shot cut through the air and the warrior fell. That left two attackers, who were making their way to the side of the house and up onto a porch. Jacob sighted one in. The Indian dropped even before the report of the rifle stopped sounding. The only remaining brave was moving swiftly toward the back of the cabin. Jacob put a bullet in him as the Indian was rounding the corner just before he made it out of sight. A sudden grief overwhelmed him, as it always did, at the loss of life. He hated the thought of shooting a man, loathed the knowledge that he had sent a soul to its judgment. But he knew all too well what the Apache's intentions were, and he couldn't stand by and let them murder in cold blood the inhabitants of the cabin. The images that had battered at his mind before the short fight crowded in once again, attempting to overtake his thinking, his emotions. Now, however, was not the time to let them in, and so he pushed back against them and forced himself free. He let out a long, ragged sigh while his world shifted and realigned, bringing all the pieces back together to form a unified whole based on the here and now. And here and now required his full attention to assure the area was secure. Jacob, all senses alert and trained on his surroundings, approached the small home from the front, out in the open, and with his hands raised out to the side, sweat pouring down his back from the unrelenting Texas heat and the excess of adrenaline that had nowhere else to go. Before he even saw the figure at the window clearly, Jacob called out, "Hello, the cabin! Do not shoot!" He paused, waiting for some kind of answer. Finally, a voice called back, "Who are you?" Jacob faltered for just a moment at the sound of the voice, a woman's voice, so feminine yet so clear and strong, and then he tilted his head toward the dead Apache. "I'm a friend." To his surprise, he heard laughter, shaky and nervous sounding, but beautifully melodic in such a stark contrast to the harsh crack of rifle fire that had so closely preceded it. In a moment, a woman's head appeared in the open window. He was too far away to see anything but her long auburn hair, so Jacob walked his horse forward until he could speak without yelling. When he came close enough to make out her features, he felt a catch in his chest. She was one beautiful woman. He cringed at what the Apache would have done to her had they taken her. He could see by the look on her face that she was more than curious about the way he looked, but she didn't ask. That was okay. He was a little curious about her, too. She motioned behind the house and said, "You can wash up at the pump. Supper's all but ready." He hesitated, not wanting to offend her by seeming ungrateful, and yet not wanting her to do something that made her uncomfortable, notably inviting a man like him to stay for a meal out of a sense of debt. He regarded her with a look that conveyed his feelings on the matter. "I'm much obliged, ma'am, but it isn't necessary." Her voice spoke out from the inside of the cabin. "I hope you like stew." He couldn't stop the small smile that felt so foreign playing at the corners of his mouth. The frontier sure bred all kinds of folk. Then he looked over the yard at the fallen Apache, and any hint of mirth died an instant death. Pointless. All the death creeping around the hills and valleys of this rugged country was so pointless. He couldn't reconcile how a land filled with people who fed strangers and stepped in whenever help was needed could also be a home to so much sorrow. He raised his voice to be heard. I need to check the area and give them a proper burial. Keep your gun handy. She came back to the window for a brief moment, her face masking whatever thoughts she had about the drama that had just played itself out on her homestead. I'll have supper on the table when you're ready. She hadn't even blinked as she met his gaze, and at the end of her declaration, she turned on her heel and disappeared into the shadows of the cabin's interior.